We're doing a leadership series here on Wednesday night, and we talked about a different kind of leader, and then we talked about a leader with a different heart, a different attitude. Now tonight we're going to talk about a leader with a different spirit, a different spirit. If you want to be a godly leader, you're a leader with a different kind of spirit, a whole different kind of spirit. You know, unfortunately tonight, many of you can associate with what I'm talking about right now. Adjectives that would describe many leaders are obnoxious, arrogant, and unteachable. They know it all. If you don't believe them, just ask them. Just ask them. But God's Word counters that worldly spirit. And God is looking for leaders with a different spirit. In your handout, it says Daniel is a wonderful example in the Bible of a leader with a different spirit. The Bible says there in Daniel 6:3 in your handout, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because," why? "An excellent," what, church? "Spirit was in him." An excellent spirit was in him. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So, man, Daniel really excelled as a leader because he had a different kind of spirit. He had a different kind of spirit. In your notes, it says many leaders. And by the way, who is a leader? Who is a leader? Well, really, in a sense, aren't we all leaders? Doesn't necessarily mean we're leading right, okay, but aren't we all leaders? Isn't there someone, remember we said leadership is influence. Isn't there anybody in your life that you have influence over? Are you a leader in a particular ministry here at the church? Maybe you have children. Certainly you're a leader to your children. Maybe you have grandchildren. You're a leader. You have influence in their life, most likely. You know, maybe you head up a ministry here at this church. Then you're a leader. You know, I think that if we really evaluated it, most people, unless they just live in a cave, you know, most people have influence. Now, again, it doesn't necessarily mean you got good influence, but you know, you've got influence over people, and so in a sense, you are a leader. Well, if we're going to be a godly leader, we have to be a leader with a different kind of spirit. And in your handout, it says that many leaders possess a haughty spirit. But God is looking for leaders with a humble spirit. I want you to take your Bible tonight and let's go to Proverbs. And we're going to be there all night. We're going to basically be in Proverbs, and I don't know that we're going to leave there much. So find Proverbs in the Old Testament, would you? The book of Proverbs. We're going to start out in chapter 16. And we're going to look at a bunch of verses tonight. Doesn't that excite you? Yeah. Amen. All right. Three of you are excited about that. All right. Proverbs 6. I know you're tired. Proverbs 16, 18. All right. It says, Pride goeth before destruction. And notice a what? Haughty spirit before a fall. You see, a leader isn't to have a haughty spirit. But look with me at the next verse. Better it is to be of... Okay, here we go. This is a different kind of spirit. A what? Humble spirit. Than to divide the spoil with the proud. Go over to chapter 29. Turn over there. God is looking for leaders with a humble spirit. 29:23. Look at it with me. 29:23. The Bible says that a man's pride shall bring him low. Okay, that's the wrong kind of spirit. But honor shall uphold, notice again, the humble in spirit. You see, in your handout, it says a leader with a humble spirit will always possess a teachable spirit. I really believe that to have a humble spirit means that you have a teachable spirit. Go to Proverbs chapter 9 And here we have some very key verses right here. Proverbs 9, very, very key right here. Proverbs 9, look with me at verse 8. All right, Proverbs 9, verse 8. The Bible says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." But notice, rebuke a wise man, and what's he going to do? He will what? He'll love you. Look at the next verse. It says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." What's the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying that we need to have a teachable spirit. You know, there in verse 8, it says that if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Do you know what it means to rebuke? Okay? Rebuke means to confront someone with the wrongness of an action or an attitude and to help them see the consequences. That's what a rebuke is. If someone rebukes you, that means that they're confronting you about something wrong in your attitudes or your actions. And they want you to see the consequences of that wrong action or that wrong attitude. Folks, this is so incredibly important. Man, I've told my pastoral staff and I've taught parts of this in the past to our staff here, you know, the secretarial, pastoral, and all that. And I am convinced of this thing right here, that nobody is going to be successful in a leadership role until they get a teachable spirit. Okay? Nobody. And you're not going to be a godly leader until we're willing to take rebuke and we're willing to listen and to be instructed and to be teachable. Man, this is just so important because, listen to me, church, without a teachable spirit, then we're going to get locked into a certain growth point and we're never going to go past it. We will never excel. Never excel. I read this quote and it said, "I worry for the leader who does not want to hear hard things, who surrounds himself or herself with people who only say pleasant, positive things. Sooner or later, such leaders neutralize themselves." We will never learn the lessons that God is trying to teach us until we get a teachable spirit. I want you to take your Bible and go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Man, there's just so much wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. And it is a book of wisdom, you know, and it's a book of Proverbs that are just, it's full of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 10. It says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall what?" You know what the picture here is? Talking about forsaking the way, you know, somebody trying to correct you because you're forsaking the way. I get an image of someone that's kind of heading down a dead-end street off a cliff or something, you know? And someone's trying to correct them and say, "Man, you're going the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. You need to turn around." But the person, man, you know, that correction is grievous to them. They're forsaking the way and they're continuing down that path and they hate the reproof that they're getting. And so they just go right off the cliff. And the Bible says there in verse 10, "He that hateth reproof shall die." He's going to continue down his road that he set. He's not going to listen to anybody. He's not got a teachable spirit, and so off he goes, off the cliff. Now, we all have rough edges, and we all have character deficiencies.
Amen.
Okay, I have rough edges, and I have character deficiencies. All right, now we can get some amens. Ladies, your husband has rough edges, and he has character deficiencies. And guys, so does your wife. Yes, sirree, buddy. We all got some porcupine to our personalities. Do you like that? I just made that up. We... we've all got some porcupine in us, don't we? We do. I mean, let's just be honest. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean that you don't have character deficiencies, okay? Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you can't be wrong. Just because you're the head at work doesn't mean that somebody that works under you can't rebuke you, okay? Just because you're the head cheese, okay, doesn't mean that you don't need to get sliced up every once in a while by somebody else. You see, how does God knock off the rough edges? How does God correct the character deficiencies in our life? How does God do it? I'll tell you how He does it. He uses people to knock them off. He uses people. I'm not talking about somebody that's in your face, flying off at you, just going, you know, flying off the handle. You know, somebody that's just going ballistic and screaming and yelling at you and pointing at you. Now, I'm not talking about that. That's not rebuke in a biblical sense. But a genuine rebuke is a noble communication. Let me say that again. A genuine rebuke is a noble communication. And a true biblical rebuke, the intention of it is to free a person for growth and effectiveness by speaking the truth in love. You know, that's what I want you to see. Listen, in the 16 years I've been here, I've had to give rebukes and take rebukes. Some people think if you're a leader, then all of a sudden you don't have to take rebukes anymore. Wrong. Okay? I have had church members rebuke me. Okay? And there's been many times when they were exactly right. And they were right on target. And I needed every word of it. And it was like taking medicine. It was terrible going down. It was pretty good once I digested it. Okay? You see, as a leader, we never get past this where we don't need a teachable spirit anymore, where nobody can teach us anything. You know, if God's trying to knock the rough edges off, and what He's going to do is He's going to send people into our life to do it. And if we buck and if we resist in arrogance, then God has to keep teaching us the same lesson over and over again. In your handout, it says, a leader with a teachable spirit has accepted the following facts. Number one, I don't know everything. If you have a teachable spirit, you've accepted the fact you don't know everything. Not just mentally, but I'm talking about in your actions and attitudes, you've accepted that. If you've got your Bible there, keep your bookmarker in Proverbs and turn over to the New Testament, to Romans 15. Paul here is writing to the church at Rome. And in Romans 15, verse 4, look what he says here. Romans 15, verse 4. Man, it says in your handout, there's just so much to learn in regards to the Christian life. How many of you agree with me? There's just so much to learn, huh? So much to learn. And in Romans 15, 4, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our, what's the key word there? What? Learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's a great verse, isn't it? The Scriptures were written for our learning. In your handout, I've got a verse typed out for you, 2 Timothy 3:14. Look at it with me. Paul said to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast, say it with me, learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast what? Learned them. Timothy had a lot to learn, didn't he? You know who our example is? In your handout, it says Christ is our example. Christ is our example. You see, you mean Christ learned? You mean Jesus Christ learned and had a teachable spirit? Absolutely. I'm going to read you a verse here for sake of time. In Hebrews 5:8, listen to this verse. Though he were a son, speaking of Christ, capital S, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Isn't that something? Christ learned. He learned things. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's not to say Christ ever sinned. He never sinned. He was sinless. But there was a learning process that took place. In your handout, look at the verse I have there. In Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." He increased. He grew. He grew in wisdom. He grew in learning. See? So, you know, if we're going to have a teachable spirit, we have to accept the fact that we don't know everything. Okay? But the next statement there is this. Here's the next fact. Other people know things I do not know. Other people know things that I do not know. Go back to Philippians, or go to Philippians. You're in Romans, go forward to Philippians chapter 4. Other people know things I do not know. If you've got a teachable spirit, you certainly understand that. Philippians 4:9. It says, Those things, Paul said, which ye have both, notice, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of times, many leaders, they refuse to listen to those around them because this fact right here has not been understood and accepted. They maybe logically and mentally we accept the fact that other people know things. We know that logically. Okay, other people know things I don't know. But then in our everyday life, we don't always show that. And a lot of leaders, they don't listen to those around them. I want you to do this. Go to back to Proverbs again. Let's travel back there. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. There's a lot of leaders who are leaders because of their position that they've been given, but they're fools. Just because you have a position doesn't mean you're a good leader. Okay? There's a lot of leaders who are fools because of that verse right there. They despise the wisdom that comes from other people. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Man, we have to have a teachable spirit. And you know, one of the things I've learned is that as a leader, this is something that God really had to show me. When I came here, I was right out of college. And I was 21 years old when I came on staff here. And I was 21 years old when I came on staff here. I've been here 3 years. I'm 24 now. And, no, I'm just kidding. That was a long time ago. But when I came here out of college, I kind of thought, but Larry, I had to know it all. You know, I thought if somebody came up to me and asked me a Bible question, it would show weakness if I didn't know. So if someone came up and asked me a Bible question I didn't know, I faked it till I made it, you know. Just kind of fake it. Just kind of work your way through and see if you can make it, you know. Fake it till you make it. And so I thought, man, if someone comes to me, I'm the authority. You know, I'm a pastor now, and I need to know the answers. You know, it was a great day when I finally realized, as a leader, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to know it all. You know, people come to me all the time at this church with questions. And I forget who I was talking to about this the other day. Oh, it was at the new member luncheon. And I was telling the new members, I said, you know what? One of the reasons why we have this luncheon is so you can learn who does what around here. Because I said, a lot of people come to me and they ask me questions and I don't have a clue. And I said, you know, my answer is, oh, you know what? You need to talk to Tommy. He has the answer. Or you need to go to Larry. He knows that. You know, and people probably sometimes think, doesn't he know anything? You know, and I really don't. You know, It's, you know, I'm just being honest. You know, they ask me a question. I just don't know. Because that's not an area, you know, I'm trusting other people and working through them, and I don't know the answer. So I send them to somebody that can get them the answer. You know, I don't have to know all the answers. I don't have to know everything that's going on around here. I don't have to have my thumb on everything going on. You know? But, you know, as a leader, it's just a wonderful day when you realize that you don't have to know it all. You know? And you know what else I've learned? Is that you can learn things from anybody. Everybody knows things you don't know. Amen? I tell you what, my kids teach me things. Man, they teach me a lot. You're right. And, you know, Pastor Larry, I've been in the ministry here for 16 years. Pastor Larry's been here a year. But yet he teaches me things. See? And so we have to understand this. Look at the next thing. The next fact is this. God uses other people to teach me. I want you to go to Proverbs 27. Okay? Turn over to Proverbs 27. God uses other people to teach me. Proverbs 27, verse 5. You know, some of you that have been saved a long time, the devil can come to you with the attitude, you know what? I don't really need to go to church. I already know everything he's saying. I already know everything. You ever sit down to hear someone preach and think, well, he can't teach me anything? That's a haughty, arrogant spirit. I don't care how long you've been saved or how mature you are. There's something that the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart about when the Word of God is preached. And you know what I found out? Is that a lot of times, you know what I need? More than I need new truth, I need to have old truth reviewed and reemphasized to me, and I need to be challenged to live according to the truth I already know. And that's why Paul wrote over and over, I put thee in remembrance. I put thee in remembrance. I'm not sharing anything new with you. I put you in remembrance. There are some sermons worth repeating.
Amen.
It's a message I heard once. I think I read it in a magazine. There are some sermons worth, yeah, a sermon worth repeating. I read that one. No, I'm just kidding. That's one he preached. But, see, I listened to your... You know, that he preached that while I was on vacation. I got every single one of the CDs of the guys that preached while I was gone. Why? Because I've probably listened to 30, 40, 50 messages in my car this year. I like listening to messages. I like to learn because I can be taught. God uses other people to teach me. Look at Proverbs 27 and look at verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a what?
Friend.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The idea here is that a true friend tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And that when a friend tells you something that you don't want to hear, it may wound you, it may hurt you, but it's good for you. And that guy is showing his true friendship. It's not always pleasant. But thank God for people who tell us the truth even when it hurts. I was reading an article. I had found this article after I had prepared this. And I thought, man, there was some good illustrations there. Now, I was reading an article by a guy named Gordon MacDonald. He's an author. He used to pastor. And he said, here's what he said. As a seminarian, he's in seminary, I was asked to write and deliver a paper to a special forum of students and faculty. Typically, I put off writing the paper until the deadline loomed, and then I cut two days of classes to complete the assignment. When I had finished reading the paper and the audience had responded with applause, and I left the auditorium, he said a professor whose classes I dodged in order to write the paper found me. And he said, Gordon, that was a good paper, but it lacked the possibility of greatness. Do you want to know why? He said, I could hardly say no. So he continued. He said, you sacrificed your routine responsibilities to write it. Your ministry will not be successful if you make this sort of thing a habit. Gordon MacDonald said, you listen carefully to the insight of somebody like that. He said, that professor was less interested in the content of my presentation than he was the character pattern that framed its writing. He said, the paper would be forgotten. He said, I can't remember anything about it now. He said, but the work habits that it revealed would continue the rest of my life if I didn't alter them. He saw this, and he said, I did not. He saw it, I didn't. And his rebuke caused me to reform my work ethic. You see, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's not always pleasant, but thank God for people who tell us the truth even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. I remember about a year and a half ago, I had a wonderful idea about restructuring some things in our life group, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it. And man, I mean, I had it all worked out. I had all the reasons why it would work and why we needed to do it. And presented it to a few people, thought, well, that was pretty good. Had that all worked and planned out. And I mean, I was going to restructure it and had it all worked out how to do it. And this skinny fella named Rich Costanza wrote me a 10-page email explaining to me and enlightening me on why he thought it was a stupid idea. Now, he didn't say that. He didn't say stupid. I said that. He wasn't on staff at the time, of course. That was a year and a half ago. He was a lay person in the church. But he wrote me 10 pages. 20? Was it 20? Okay. Thank you, Rich. I accept that rebuke. 20 pages. It was long. You know what I did? It burst my bubble. Okay, I got to be honest with you. It really burst my bubble. But you know what I did when I got done reading it? I said, he's right. He's right. I told Denise, I said, read this. I said, he's right. Didn't I, honey? I said, he's right. He's right. This was stupid. It was ignorant. And what am I saying? That God uses other people to teach us. You do not see your blind spots. But your wife does. Okay? Or your friend does, who loves you and cares about you. Let me quickly move on. What are the biblical characteristics of those with a teachable spirit? Let me give them to you. First of all, they have learned to love instruction. They've learned to love instruction. Go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs 9. And by the way, that's one thing I love about my pastoral staff. They're all that way. I remember there was a period of about a week where Tommy Thompson basically told me 3 different times I was wrong on stuff. And he was right every time. You know, I remember that. I just remember that. There was like 3 times when he said, you know what, I really think that that's wrong. You know, and he told, and I really encourage my guys. I want them to know that I'll accept that. I want them to know I want them to do that. I want them to challenge my thinking. I want them to, you know, and they know. And we've tried to have that kind of atmosphere among the whole staff, you know. And I want them to know that that's what we want around here. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and notice the result. He will be yet what? He'll be wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. Look at Proverbs 12. Go over there, chapter 12. It says in verse 1, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Have you ever met somebody that you couldn't tell anything to? Listen. I've coached baseball, as you know, Coach Dan, right? And I got some folks here. I'm Coach Dan. And I've coached baseball. And you know what? There are kids that you can coach, and there are kids you can't coach. There are kids that if you say, you know what, I really think you need to choke up on the bat. Man, they just immediately, okay, coach, and they immediately choke up. You tell other kids, choke up on that bat. And they just look at you. Like, I dare you to make me. I mean, really, you know what I'm saying? There's some kids that are coachable, some aren't. And of course, the kids who aren't coachable are never going to excel. I don't care how much natural talent they have, they'll never excel for very long. You see, here's what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, go back to chapter 1. You know when that kind of attitude starts? People that are unteachable. You know people that don't love instruction? That kind of attitude, that attitude of choke up on the bat, and then they're just looking at you. That kind of attitude starts in childhood. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy what? Father, how do you learn? It says, and forsake not the law of thy mother. How do we learn how to take instruction? How do we learn to love instruction? How do we learn to be teachable and have a teachable spirit? We learn it as a child. When you allow your children to constantly have their way, when you allow your children to backtalk you, argue with you, treat you disrespectfully, disobey you, you know what you're doing? You are destroying their life. Because what you're doing is you're creating in them an arrogant spirit. And that arrogant spirit is going to roll right over into adulthood. You're training them for how they're going to be as an adult. In Proverbs chapter 4, turn over there. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 1. Look at this. Look at this. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. You see, that arrogant spirit will go into adulthood. People with a teachable spirit love instruction, and they become great leaders. Let me motivate you in something right here. The importance of reading. Reading God's Word. Reading after other godly people. If you hate reading, you need to pray God will change that. Because really, how do you expect to learn anything? How do you expect to learn if you don't read? You know? How do you expect to just become a better husband if you don't read and study? How do you expect to become a better wife if you don't learn and study? How do you expect to know the Bible if you don't learn and read and study? You know, Paul told Timothy to give attendance to reading. You know, we as Christians should be readers. Because why? Because we love instruction. If you love instruction, you become a reader. And you want to learn. Number two, the second biblical characteristic of those with a teachable spirit is they have learned to love people who give them instruction. And it goes right back to the key verse there, which was Proverbs 9:8. And turn back. I mean, we read it once. Let's read it again. Proverbs 9:8. Okay, turn there with me. Proverbs 9:8. Look at it with me. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. If someone's a scorner, they just got a bad, foul spirit. They're a scorner. Try to reprove them, they'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. I read a quote. I thought this was cool. It said, my hero was a 19th century Anglican pastor Charles Simeon, and he struggled with ego. A close friend called this tendency to his attention. A day later, Simeon wrote to his mentor, Henry Venn. He said, "What a blessing, an inestimable blessing is it to have a faithful friend. Satan is ready enough to point out whatever good we have, but it's only a faithful friend that will screen that from your sight and show you your deficiencies." Our great apostasy seems to consist primarily in making a god of self. And he is the most valuable friend who will draw us most from self-seeking, self-pleasing, and self-dependence, and help us to restore to God the authority that we have robbed him of. What a great quote from Charles Simeon. You see, those with a teachable spirit have learned to love instruction. And again, that goes back to childhood. Loving people who give you instruction. Look at Proverbs 15. Chapter 15, verse 5, it says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Look at chapter 10, okay? I know we're turning a lot here. Chapter 10, okay? Are you looking at it? Proverbs 10, 17. Are you there with me, huh? Okay. 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Let me give you the next thing. The next biblical characteristic of those with a teachable spirit is they possess a contrite, tender heart. A contrite, tender heart. And let me read for you here Psalm 34. It says this. Psalm 34, verse 18. It says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Do you know what it means to have a contrite heart? If you look up that word contrite, it literally means crushed. It literally means powder. You know, Proverbs talks about the guy who, when you reprove him, he hardens his neck, or he hardens his face. God gives that illustration of people who aren't teachable, and he talks about how they harden their neck and they harden their face. But yet the Bible says God's near unto those that have a contrite, tender heart. You know what? One thing I've found through the years working here at the church is that you learn a lot more about a person when you rebuke them than when you brag on them. You learn a whole lot more about them. You really do. Everybody likes to be bragged on, don't they? We take that real well, don't we? We like that. You pat us on the back. You really learn about somebody's character when you have to rebuke them. In love. Speak the truth in love. And when you do that, and they harden their neck, they get bowed up, they get defensive and mad, it reveals a lot. But the Bible says this. Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15 in your handout. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." A cold, arrogant, haughty spirit is not of God. And it's not characteristic of those with a teachable spirit. Let me give you the last thing. Okay? What's the last characteristic of those with a teachable spirit? Well, they are constantly looking for better ways and open to new ideas. Did you know that new is not bad? Not necessarily bad. Look in your Bible. What do you have? You got a New Testament. The Bible talks about us being new creatures. Jesus said he opened up a new and living way. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Bible says there's a new name in heaven. There's a new Jerusalem. Bible talks about a new song. a new commandment. When they listened to Jesus, they said, what new doctrine is this? Jesus said in Revelation 21:5, He said, I make all things new. I make all things new. Have you ever worked with somebody? It is hilarious, but have you ever worked with somebody that the only good new idea is if it was theirs? You know, if they thought of it, it was a good idea. But if they didn't think of it, they just weren't too keen on it. In your handout, it says this: a godly leader has learned the biblical art of listening. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to Proverbs 17 with me, okay? And we're going to look at a couple more verses here before we go home. Proverbs 17, verse 27. A godly leader has learned the biblical art of listening. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, that's what we're talking about tonight, an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth to his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Pretty good, huh? Chapter 18, verse 13. Chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. When you've already made up your mind, I'm mad, I'm ticked off, and you haven't heard the whole matter. You've made up your mind before you've put you've made up your mind before you've put your ears in gear to listen. The Bible says there that it's a folly and a shame to us when we do that, when we don't listen. Look at chapter 19, verse 20. Chapter 19, verse 20. What does the Bible say? Hear counsel, hear it, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Look at chapter 15. This is the last thing we'll look at. 15, chapter 15, verse 31 and 32. It says in chapter 15, verses 31 and 32, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But notice the key word here is heareth. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You know, folks, this is so important. You know, it blesses my heart to see you two guys up here. Brother Mike helps Brother Larry in singles, right, Larry? Yes. And I remember when you had the idea of moving singles to 11 o'clock hour because you didn't have room in the 9:45. You know what? It wasn't my idea. It was his idea. It was a good idea. And I remember when you guys first started working with Larry. And there were times, I remember, when Larry would tell me that he had called you on the phone, like if you didn't show up and didn't call him. And he rebuked you, didn't he? Yeah, he did, he said. And I remember Larry telling me sometimes what he said to Mike. And I remember thinking, oh my, did he really say that? Larry really said it. And he said, if you couldn't hear him, he said, that's what helped us to stay accountable. You see, you took rebuke like a wise man. And that's why he's here. And his wife's in Awana working. See, we, folks, we have got to have a teachable spirit. That's the mark of a godly leader. You want to be a leader? You've got to have a teachable spirit. Next week, we're going to do part two. You say, man, you mean we didn't get it all done tonight? Nope. We got a whole other part two to this. And it's going to be good. All right? So next week, we'll dive in. All right? Father, we pray now that you'll bless this Bible study tonight. Father, we pray, God, that all of us in here will pray.